Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to the Coach and Coordinator Podcast. Our guest today is the head football coach at Fort Payne High School in Alabama, Chris Elmore. Coach Elmore, it's great to have you here today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Coach, we're going to talk and get into your use of the contact system, which you started using and became exposed to around the beginning of 2017. And you've had the guys come out to your school and clinic up your staff and your players. And we're going to talk about some of the things you've learned along the way and your transition into it. So, Coach, just thinking back to when you first saw this stuff, what was your impression as you saw some of these techniques? And I'm guessing you heard Scott Peters talk about these at a clinic somewhere.
Yeah, I'd heard Scott talk at the Cool Clinic a couple of years in Cincinnati. I usually try to go to that each year, and the offensive line clinic they have up there. And he had kind of gotten up a couple times, I think, with Jim McNally. Jim let him speak for 10 or 15 minutes or something, and just – some of the things he was talking about and just how he used some of the martial arts training he had and the experiences he had in the NFL really kind of hit home with me, just because we've always had some smaller linemen. I was trying to figure out a way for our smaller linemen to compete with guys that are, you know, 30 and 40 pounds bigger than them. And just some of the stuff he talked about with leverage and how to use your hands and body positioning and using your hips really started to resonate with me. And actually I heard him on a podcast with you as well one night, and was listening to that, and ended up emailing him, and we got on the phone, got to talking, and have formed a relationship since then. He's helped us out a lot over the last few years.
Coach, when you brought these ideas back to your coaching staff, what was their response to it? I mean, I'm thinking back to when my offensive line coach came back with this stuff, but I'm wondering, what was the response of your staff when you brought it back to them?
Well, I don't know that skepticism, maybe not the exact word, but I think anytime you, because it is different, and it's so much different than all of us, you know, learned when we were growing up and what we've taught early in our careers. And so I don't think necessarily anybody doubted it, but I think they had to see it, you know, in action for themselves. And Scott does a great job of explaining it, which is all one of the reasons why I want him to come down and actually clinic our staff, because, you know, me trying to relate it after learning from him is not going to have the same effect as him himself doing it. Once he came down, I think it made a great impression on my coaches at Chelsea and my coaches at Fort Payne, that they understood, you know, how valuable this could be if you drilled it the correct way, and how, you know, again, safety gets a lot of publicity right now. But the biggest thing with Scott is it's just better technique, I think. It's just more efficient technique, and safety is kind of a byproduct of it. But there's no doubt in my mind that if you can stick with it and practice it over time, that your players will get much more efficient and much better with their technique on a you know, the variety of blocks that you have to use, or even on defense as well.
Yeah, I would agree. I can honestly say I was skeptical when it was 2011, my offensive line coach at the time at BW was a guy named Mark Jockum, who studies the game. I mean, just so knowledgeable on the offensive line play. And he'd go every year to the Cool Clinic. He'd also go to Jim McNally. Jim McNally used to have a retreat, so he'd go to the retreat and come back from the offensive line coach's retreat. And he comes back after his first year with us and says, I want to implement these techniques. And I can remember, like, when he's first explaining them to me, I'm like, yeah, I don't quite understand. You gotta show me. And I remember we had this cinder block. We called it the bunker, this cinder block film room, just on the interior of the rec center. No windows or anything. Bunch of tables in there, and we're literally, you know, he's lifting tables and pushing tables to show me the difference between the two. And it finally started clicking for me, and I thought, all right, I get it. And you watch some examples of it, and really made the change. And at the time, you know, I know safety has certainly come to light, and I think that's one of the byproducts of this superior technique, is you're not using your head anymore. We were looking at it for the performance aspect. I was like you. Mm-hmm. I had undersized guys for the most part giving up 40 to 50 pounds, giving up some height, you know, length advantage, et cetera. And this just became a better way for us. We were pretty good that year, but we became even more effective in the run game because of these techniques. And I think that in talking to coaches like you, that seems to be the experience, that you go from that trying to really grasp it to then coming to the full understanding of it, and then obviously progressing to being able to teach it yourself.
Right. And, you know, when the first year Scott came down to Chelsea and he did a youth camp with us, and then he also spent about 2 hours with our players in the morning. And what really kind of, you know, sold it to me was I was already a believer, but my players came out of a 2-hour session with him, and they said, and they, you know, those guys in Chelsea were really honest a lot of times. They would tell you exactly what you wanted to know. They wouldn't just say, yes, sir, it was good. They would be honest with you. And as a coach, we learned more in 2 hours with him than I have at some 2-day camps I've gone to where I spent 15 hours somewhere. And that's when it hit home with me, because I was like, okay, they're actually understanding me, visualizing me, seeing it is one thing, but it doesn't matter if it doesn't affect them. And I think it definitely, when I talked to my linemen there, they were made me a believer in that, hey, this is something I'm getting a lot of value of and something I can use. And you know, the other thing I like about it is it's a deal where you don't have to be in full pads all the time to work on blocking. That's what I love about it. With all the limitations we have these days with, you know, when you can wear full pads, when you can have contact, all that kind of stuff, which I think is good for the game, you're able to still work on some techniques with blocking without any equipment on at all, because you're using a lot of your hands and your hips, and you're not having to, you know, obviously use your helmet to hit anybody or use your shoulder pads to hit anybody. I think that's been helpful to us, because we're able to drill blocking techniques on a Thursday before the game when we don't want a lot of contact necessarily, but those guys can still get a lot better 24 hours before the game just on some basic drills and techniques that Scott has shown them.
And that's one of the big things in some of the first times I sat down and talked to Scott, and my first interaction with him was when I was coaching the offensive line a few years back at Oberlin College, and I happened to find Scott's stuff, again, not knowing he was the guy who kind of originated all this, taking it from my offensive line coach at BW and then bringing it over here, and then getting into it with him and hearing some of the rationale behind why he put it together, and one being the skill development aspect, that when you think about it, there's a lot of things that come a little bit naturally to an athlete on the football field, you know, the running, some of the jumping, catching mm-hmm. passes, those kinds of things. But when you think about moving people, that's not really mm-hmm. a natural thing, you know, that the body was necessarily made for. So you have to really practice the skill of it. And really up until this point, till you see some of these drills and how the techniques are taught, we really couldn't do that outside of our time period when we were only allowed to teach the game and we had equipment on.
That's exactly right. Yeah, and that's, you know, and Scott's got a lot of great drills for the off season that you can use in the weight room that don't involve another player or don't, you know, and it's just a matter of, again, it's the repetition, and it kind of goes back, I think, to his martial arts training, and that, you know, and I think he even mentioned it one time, or maybe I read the quote and thought about it, but, you know, the old Bruce Lee quote of, I don't fear a guy who's practiced 1,000 kicks once, I fear the guy who's practiced 1 kick 1,000 times. And I think that's kind of where this is all going, is that the more you rep it and the more you drill it, the better you get at that technique. And I think, you know, it's really kind of hit home with some of our linemen. It's helped here. I've got a couple of guys that wrestle here at Fort Payne for us, and it really kind of resonates with them, and they can relate. They know that in wrestling they've got to drill their moves there to get great at them, and they understand the same correlation that there is in offensive line play.
Yeah, it really does have a lot of that origin in those types of sports, I mean, wrestling or martial arts, where you are doing a lot of that drilling, that one-on-one drilling. And, you know, it is not necessarily contact. Now, I don't want anybody who's not seen this to think this is a soft way of blocking. Yeah. I mean, there's guys in the NFL, I think of, you know, Chris Manhertz, never played football before. McNally found him. He was a basketball player at Canisius College and sent him out to Scott in Arizona to learn some of this stuff. And, He's certainly progressed now in the NFL with some of those work with Scott and his other coaches, where he's one of the most dominant blocking tight ends in the NFL. Or you look at someone like Brandon Scherff, who uses stuff for the Redskins. I mean, those guys are moving people aggressively. Yeah. But yet at the same time, when you watch the film, there's no helmet-to-helmet for them.
Right. Yeah, it hit about our third game of the 2017 season at Chelsea, the first year we really kind of fully implemented it. I had a guard that probably weighed maybe 190, 95 pounds, something like that. He was a two-sport guy, played football, baseball, so doesn't get a lot of time in the offseason to bulk up. He's playing baseball, playing football, and he went up. He had a particular block in game three against an inside shade for their opponent that weighed probably 300, 310, and he took that guy and got underneath him with that technique Scott uses and got his hands inside and his elbows inside and used his hips, and he drove the guy 6 or 7 yards back into the end zone. And that's when I said, okay, that's why we've got to keep working this, because, yeah, that was only one time, and we weren't able to do it every play, obviously, but there's no way that player can block that player the way he blocked him unless he uses that technique. He just can't. He can't just get up there and try to, you know, mass block him, or I'm gonna come off and hit you and drive you back. The only way he could do it was using those techniques, and it was one of those clips that you save forever because you can go back and show people. So this is what you can do if you can master these techniques.
Yeah, I really do believe you need to see it, and seeing game video of guys doing it certainly shows you the validity of it. But going into and seeing the drills, and if you have the opportunity to be at a clinic or to do a clinic with our guys, that's even more beneficial, because it does become hands-on, and they teach you to feel it, and they teach you the difference. And just, you know, I think of the one demonstration where, you know, he'll show the arm, you know, reached out long, and just the difference of turning that elbow in versus leaving that hand on top. And in the one direction, when you turn that elbow in and that hand's underneath, that arm's not collapsing. It is a strong structure. But as soon as you turn it over, now you know, it's going to bend like it's supposed to. So it's those little things that he puts into it, those details, those small little things that you really can't spot unless you start digging into this stuff, but it's going to make a huge difference for your players.
Right. There's no doubt. And, after talking with Scott, quite a bit, I kind of bouncing ideas off him and came up with a couple of things in his drills. You know, we've even came up with, everybody's got their turnover circuits and their, ball security circuits that they do at practice. And we even came up with a blocking circuit that we do with our offensive players. And everybody goes through it with the quarterbacks, and we do it at least once a week, you know, sometimes in fall camp twice a week. And it's a circuit of about three different drills that are all reemphasizing those same fundamentals. And we have our, you know, linemen do it, our tight ends do it, our receivers do it, have our running backs do it, everybody does it. Because the point is that you're all going to need it at some point or another. And it's been, really beneficial to us, because we can get a lot of reps in about 5 or 6 minutes. And again, it's just going back and reinforcing those principles of this is what you got to do to have a chance to execute those blocks on Friday night.
That's what I love about this system. I mean, you see a big guy like Scott Peters instructing it on the video or out in front in a clinic, and you think it's this is for the offensive line, but he's broken this down, for lack of better words, kind of scientifically, to say, doesn't matter if you're a guy who plays in space or you're a guy who plays on the line of scrimmage. Eventually, here are the fundamental movements and fundamental postures you're going to end up in order to make a block, in order to move somebody, in order to distort them one way or the other. It's all going to be the same. Doesn't matter if you're the skinny receiver out on the edge or the big guy in the middle. All things are going to happen the same way for you.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's kind of what we've tried to sell here. And I think it's making a difference in it. You know, it's a confidence thing, and it's something that is different, and it's kind of hard for the players to, they're not going to quickly grasp it, I guess, but they see the value of it and they understand it. And they know they need to do it, but the idea of getting it that first day is not going to happen. It takes some time, and it takes a lot of reps. And I think over the course of that time, they get better and better at it. But I think it's once they get the confidence of, okay, this makes more sense now. I can feel those movements in my body. I think whether they're a receiver or a lineman, like you said, I think it shows up on the field for them.
And the other thing, you know, in seeing this, really thinking about all the different schemes that everybody uses, this is really not specific to a certain scheme. You're going to adjust the footwork and the way you get to certain blocks or the path that you take. Mm-hmm. But this can work in a number of systems. I was talking to some coaches. We were out in Dallas a couple weeks ago for some training and working with coaches. And there was a coach who uses this stuff in a triple option system. In an option system, much like Navy runs, he's using these techniques. There was a wing T coach who was using it, and there's certainly guys who use the zone or the gap schemes who use it as well. So it doesn't really matter what system you're using. This can apply. It really is the variation just in the footwork that you might use to get your athletes to that position to make the block.
Yeah, I think so. And we're a big zone team, a little bit of a gap as well. But I've thought about, you know, my dad was a triple option inside veer guy for 25 years, and thinking back to some of the stuff I learned with him, and you know, thinking one day if he ever needed to utilize it some, I think it, like you said, I think we could easily make the transition, and it's not like we got to teach him to block a different way. It's just a different blocking scheme. It's not a different way of blocking, and the biggest thing I think it's helped us too is pass protection. I think when our guys do it the right way, that they have a lot more success protecting against the pass than they did in the past, and they can quickly see when they don't. They can see why they get beat, because they see that, you know, maybe their base wasn't good, or that they didn't get, you know, what Scott will say sometimes, an early touch on the guy and get your hands on him. I think they can learn pretty quick in a game where they've made an error and hopefully correct it before the next play.
That's right. And within our system, we spend a lot of the focus on the run blocking. Or I should say right now, we're spending 100% of the time really on how this applies to run blocking. But it does apply to pass blocking. I think what we've seen in thinking about what we want to put out there first as we're putting this together is that, you know, a lot of guys understand how you really can't be forward and get the head into a block with pass protection, or you're going to get, you know, push pulled, you're going to end up on the ground and that guy's sacking a quarterback. So we've spent our time teaching these guys to sit back and punch and do all those things and use their hands. It's with the blocking where you've heard in the past, you know, and seen in instructional videos online, you still, I think, see it out there in quite a few places where the face mask or the helmet was utilized as a point of contact, as a surface in blocking. And one of the biggest things is we talk about we want to remove the head as a tool for contact. So when you learn to do that, and on the run game side, it actually just is pretty easy to transition all these things to the pass game, that you learn the postures and really the fits that you're going to need within pass pro anyway. It certainly depends on how much you're going to pass pro and your techniques there, that there can be a lot of variations, and you'll end up working things maybe a little bit more on the pass side. But the postures, like I said, the fits, they're going to apply across the board, whether it's run or pass, whether it's on the line of scrimmage, whether it's blocking in space.
Yeah, that's what we like about it. It's there's a lot of carryover to it. And like your great point about taking the head out of contact was a drill we do in pads, and I actually introduced the drill to the guys here in Fort Payne without pads on, and made the point. This is the drill we'll do in pads, and we'll do it on a full contact day, but you can do this drill without a helmet on, because you should not be hitting each other with your helmet. And so I think it helped them actually learn the drill a bit better, just because it's kind of Scott's come to balance drill that he calls, where the players sprint on each other and come to balance, and then they use their hands to create the leverage and use their hips. And doing it without helmets the first time, I think made more sense, because the first time I taught at Chelsea, when we had helmets on, the first thing the first two guys did was they banged helmets together. And I stopped the drill and said, wait a minute, that's not what we're doing. This is what we're doing. And I think by teaching it without pads on here, it kind of helped us because it made more sense that, you know, you don't need that face mask. You know, you can make the same move and you can create the same leverage without that helmet on.
So I see a lot of things on social media still where guys want to share the pictures of their helmets and they're all torn up and mangled and, you know, missing paint, missing decals, all those kinds of things. And that used to be the standard, right? That was the norm. I mean, if you were a tough guy, if you were a tough football player, a warrior, you had that helmet that was showing the battle scars. But, you know, the shift I think we need and the way we need to think about it right now is that that clean helmet is a sign of superior technique. I hear Scott talk about it all the time, and that helmet's like an airbag, and, you know, you would not want to be testing out that airbag in your car all the time. Well, it really should be the same with your helmet.
Right. Yeah, and when our season finished here, I actually took note of some of offensive linemen's helmet and made notes to myself. Okay, we need to work with this player next year more on this technique, because he obviously is using his head more than we would like him, because his was more scarred up than I would like to see. And obviously we understand that you can't, and Scott and I have had this conversation, you can't always dictate what the other guy's going to do. And sometimes those scars come from the other players coming and hitting you, and we understand that. But you can definitely limit those collisions a lot by using the proper technique. And so, I've actually started kind of evaluating those helmets at the end of the season just to see, hey, this guy may need a little bit more work because he's got more scars than he probably needs. Or maybe, hey, this guy doesn't have many. He's a guy maybe we can use to teach off of. Let's look at his film because he's obviously doing it the right way.
Coach, you're into the off season now. One of the beauties of the system is that it is designed to be used year-round. You've already talked several times about how you don't need equipment on. Have you guys started implementing some of the drills into your off-season program?
We have not yet. We got a little behind this off-season because of a renovation to our weight room, but now that we're full go on that, the plan is in the coming months, especially February, March, to get back on some of the core fundamental drills that Scott believes in, that I believe in as well. And again, those can be done. What's great about them is they can easily be done after a set of, you can have two players after a set of squat can, you know, go over to the side and spend 15 seconds doing this drill, and over the course of the off season, if you mix that into your workouts, you'll see a lot of positive carryover once you get out there for spring football. And so that's what we've tried to do in the past. We're not necessarily trying to block people in the weight room. We're working on our hand placement and how to get the hands inside at the proper angle. And Scott's refit drill that he does is a great one for us that we like being able to do. And it's good, again, two players that don't need a whole lot of space to do it and stand there. And other two guys could be squatting or doing another lift. And these two guys could be doing the refit drill and getting some positive reps, quality reps, while you're in the weight room getting stronger too.
I know Scott and I were talking, and I had started thinking about the amount of time we actually have on the field throughout the course of the season for skill development. When you look particularly at a group like your lineman, whether it's the O-line working on blocking or the D-line working on defeating blocks, and in a one platoon system, you might get 30 hours over the course of the season, probably a little bit less than that, just because there's not necessarily a ton of individual time. But that's a direct skill development that you can work on. And sometimes the way coaches do things, that might be spent a little bit on walkthrough or scheme. So that number might even be less. But now when you start to build in these reps into every workout, you're going way more than, over the course of an off season than you would get the time in season to work on some of the skills, the little things, the details that are going to make a difference on game day, that you can be teaching these right now, like you said, in between a set of squats or after you bench, and maybe you're working on getting those elbows inside on a drill there. They're not necessarily high intensity drills that they're going to take a lot of the players' energy or sap their strength and affect the rest of their workout, but it is within there working on the skill development. I heard a coach talking about, well, you know, in between reps, they'll have their players who are receivers catch footballs. Well, this doesn't even need to just apply to the offensive or defensive line. The entire team, maybe other than that quarterback, can be working on these skills every single day in the offseason. And it's not cheating the rules of, you know, whatever you might have in your state. You're not violating these rules by teaching some of these fundamental movements.
No, no, that's what I like about it. It's not a deal where you're in there, you know, doing a 3-on-3 drill in your weight room or something like that, and that, like, you're breaking the rules. It's just essentially a hand combat drill where two guys can work on how to properly place their hands. And, you know, I've always thought too that, you know, anytime I'm doing something that's going to help my players, you know, not only with technique but also be safer, then I don't see how that could be anywhere close to violating any kind of rules. But and what I like about it too is, in the summer, you know, we all have plenty of stuff for those quarterbacks, receivers, and running backs and DBs during the summer. There's plenty of things. It was always tough in the summer for the linemen. You know, what do they do for 2 months? You know, you can only walk through so much, you know, one zone play so many times. And now with these techniques and drills, there's so many things they can do in the summer to perfect their craft while those quarterbacks and receivers are down there doing 7-on-7 or whatever they're doing. I think that's where we really try to utilize it a lot is during our summer training.
And a lot of this, Coach, the proof is in the results. And we had a coach from Burlington High School in Massachusetts was on and talked about how his running back went from being a 300-yard rusher his junior year to a 1,500-yard rusher and setting all kinds of records his senior year, and really attributed it to implementing this system, and, you know, sent along some film for us to take a look at, and we saw those blocks happening. What are the results that you start to see on the field as you've implemented this now at two different places?
Yeah, well, I said to you earlier, we were just starting to grasp it at Chelsea when I left. I thought, and we toward the end of the year here, we started to get it as well. But I think the couple of things that I noticed here this year was at Fort Payne was it really helped our receivers. I think too. I mean, those guys really started to understand hands inside and proper leverage and all that, all those techniques that they need. And you're never going to, as we all know, you're never probably going to be perfect in the offensive line. We all understand that, but you can take different clips by different guys and you know, have positive reinforcement maybe to the whole crew where, hey, look at what so-and-so did here. That's why he was able to execute this block, and that allows them to, you know, hopefully see the benefits of that and hopefully try to recreate it themselves.
And that's a group, you mentioned the receivers, that you get those guys going. Those are the guys who turn a decent gain into a touchdown or you know, an average gain into an explosive gain, and those help you win ball games.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And like you just said, I mean, that's where you get the explosive plays. You can block everybody in the box perfectly, but if that safety comes down or that corner comes down and tackles you for four, it's still 2nd and 6. Those guys being able to block and not only block, but block correctly. And, you know, in my experience, a lot of times, you know, the bigger holding penalties that you get, it seems like, usually always on the perimeter. It's either a receiver or a tight end. And so having those guys do it the right way with the hands inside, hopefully, you know, reduces those holding penalties on the perimeter, even though we all still get some. But the more you can reduce those, the better it is for you, since you're not in, you know, going up in 1st and 20 or 2nd and 20 or whatever it is a lot.
I know we usually talk about the offense and the blocking a lot when I'm talking with coaches on this, but this does have the defensive application too. And again, I know maybe the defense in some ways has been a little bit more ahead in playing long in terms of their technique and using the long arm, and you've seen that for a while. But again, I think the difference is in some of the details that you're going to get within the system that maybe make some of the things you were doing much more effective. What kinds of things have you seen as far as helping your guys on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, it goes back to what you said. I think, you know, them, especially defensive ends, a lot of times being able to play long with their hands or with their arms has been beneficial. And we had a guy at Chelsea, really two guys at Chelsea that did a great job of mastering these techniques, and it really helped them, and had opposing coaches say to this guy, "I really like how he plays with his hands," is what they always would say. And I think it was a direct result of the drills we would do, Scott's drills, because it helps, like you said, it doesn't help just offensive players, it helps defensive players as well. And we had the same thing this year here at Fort Payne. One of our better defensive ends actually broke his hand in the first game, and so he spent, half a season in a cast and was still playing, but I think it still helped him because he was the one good hand he did have. He was able to use it the proper way, and that gave him a chance to still play well on Friday, because if he's out there with a club on one hand and not using his hands very well with the other one, I think it would have been difficult to play well. But it allowed him to still be an all-region player, just utilizing that one good hand in the proper way. And then once he got the cast off, late in the season, it made him that much better of a player.
Coach, I really appreciate you taking some time to share some of these things with us. I do think it's an important thing that we look at what we're doing and our techniques, that it's only going to make the game better for our players, both from a performance standpoint and from a player safety standpoint as well. So thanks for your time. Thanks for sharing some of your experiences with us, and I look forward to see what you guys do with this system in 2019.
Well, thanks for having me, and thanks for what you do. It's always great to learn, and always find myself looking at stuff you have on Twitter and the different podcasts and trying to pick up something from different people, because a lot of things out there that a lot of people are doing that really can benefit people. So enjoy what you do as well.
Coaches, it was great to hear Chris Elmore share what's going on with his team in Alabama and how they've been able to adopt new technique that not only is more effective for their players, but safer for them as well. It's our duty as coaches to constantly be looking for the best techniques. And just because we've done something for a long time doesn't mean that we should continue to do it that way. What I really like about the contact system that we've put together with former NFL player, world champion in jiu-jitsu, and contact expert Scott Peters, is that we are able to do something that is very effective, but takes the head out as a tool for contact. This has been proven at the NFL level. Scott's worked with 9 teams there. Chris Manhertz, who is one of the most dominant blocking tight ends in the game right now, uses these techniques. You could see it with guys like Brandon Scherff with the Washington Redskins, who also use this, as well as the guys at Stanford. And I think when you look at not just what's going on with those guys at the college and NFL level, but what some of these teams are doing at the high school level, you'll see that this is something you really need to look into. Right now, it's an introductory price, only $69. You can get 3 free videos. I highly recommend that you check this out and start thinking about how this can work in your program. Go to footballdevelopment.com and register there for the 3 free videos. If you're enjoying the podcast, please go over to iTunes and rate and review. It really helps the podcast out and helping us get the word out to coaches. It's a great free resource for learning. And follow our new Twitter handle at FBDEVCoach. Great content there every single day. Some interactive stuff with your call, our Learn From video segment we do every day, our Play of the Day, as well as links to articles that you'll love.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.